Fancy masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagland. You got, oh man, Corey Majors. And of course, the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. How the heck you doing today?
Well, it's a Monday.
Man, it feels like a G-bag tease.
That's where I got it from.
I'm just kidding, guys. I love you.
I don't know, man. We got to work a full week. Everybody else out there have to work a full week, too.
Probably most people, right?
This is different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Last week, 4 days. Mm. Week before that, I was off, I think. I don't know.
Same.
Yeah. Exactly. Alec knows what I'm talking about right now.
No. What do you think about the fact that...
Oh, crap.
We just got... I don't know if you got the invitation. Invitation for an easy and an effective show prep seminar from Odyssey. It starts at noon. To 1 p.m. Do you think I should reply and say, I want you guys to prep better to send this email because that's in the middle of our show?
I don't know that they'd be okay with that, Kevin.
Oh, okay.
And do reply all.
Then I won't do that.
But other than that, everything's great, man. We're rocking along already getting started today because we all have things that we want to discuss from the weekend, like Kevin's boat parade. If you didn't see the boat parade, you missed out.
Alec got the... I don't know if my wife has your phone number to... So we were on the boat watching the boat parade because to me, that's as fancy as it gets except for this. When we take the boat and go to another person's house and just get off at their dock and then go eat dinner there, I'm not going to lie. I think that's the fanciest thing that's ever been done.
Pretty cool, isn't it?
Save your private jets and everything like that. To me...
You want to get around by boat?
Yeah, exactly.
You want to move to Venice?
Maybe not that far, but I thought it was super duper fun. But yes, we were on the boat and Jess goes, oh, do you want me to send these videos and pictures to Corey? And I was like, hell yeah, I do. Because the boat parade is awesome.
Yeah, it was.
My lake house.
It looked amazing. So Adrian's parents, they lived in like the over by White Rock Lake area.
Okay.
And their neighborhood would have a 4th of July parade. And that was on the street. They would have kids, you know, set up with guitars and they'd play and they'd have, you know, all the high schools, Woodrow Wilson and all that stuff doing their thing. And I thought that was cool. I really always thought it was cool. The kids miss going over there for that.
Yeah.
This one is the same thing on water. And that's 10,000 times cooler. Sorry for the people that live on land. But when you're on water, it just makes it cooler because water is cool, like the air flow and all. But B, also, it just looks cooler. Being on water is awesome. I love water. Always have. I've always said this. I've always said I love water for one, okay? Mm-hmm. And for two, I know y'all are laughing because it sounds so simple, but for two, B or whatever, I've always said I just want to be done with work and for my career and be near water. Like Broadus is always I'm just trying to get to the lake, right? Isn't that his saying? I'm just trying to get to the lake, man. And that's exactly the same way. Just kind of want to be at the lake. It's so amazing.
Now, Alec, I'm going to give you the forum if you would like to respond to any of the water talk, but also that's up to you.
I love water.
What I thought was probably more relevant and from the 214, it is all in week. Alec Medford, do we need to have Bobby Lashley on? And I believe we're going to have Garland's own Athena in studio on Wednesday and then perhaps the Costco guys on Friday. We will get you ready for All In this weekend at Globe Life Field.
I'm so excited for this, man. I saw somebody tweeted out like the full pro wrestling lineup this week. We have wrestling every single day this week because of that. And it's amazing, but All In is going to be incredible. I love driving by Globe Life Field and seeing the big artwork on the front entrance and the glass. It's like, it's here. The week is here. We're going to have StarCast coming up. Like, there's going to be so many different things. And as you mentioned, some great guests to go along with it. I'm actually excited for the Costco guys now. I really am.
They have a lot of followers.
Yeah, they have millions of TikTok followers. And I've tried to avoid them for the longest time, but I kind of want to see if I can get them to give AM on the FM a rating.
There you go.
Oh.
How many booms it gets.
When y'all have a big wrestling week coming up like this, some big event like this, what is the thing that you get most... Is it about a certain match in it? Is it all the stories culminating in one big, you know, moment? Is it the fact that it's your place? What is the, what's the thing that y'all get most amped up for?
See, I think, and I don't know if this will sound weird to people, and this can just be like a sporting event in general, like with the Super Bowl, is there's a couple of things. I think it's the fact that, like, you feel like you might just see somebody you know, or like somebody you know, somebody you watch on TV just walking around. Like, this was years ago before they really took off in NXT. There's this tag team, Blake and Murphy, which was managed by Alexa Bliss before she became huge.
Yeah.
I just, me and a couple of other people were walking down the Riverwalk because we were in San Antonio to see a friend, and we just saw them. And they just, like, nobody was bothering them, and I feel bad. I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, Alexa Bliss? And she goes, how's it going? And, like, she was so excited because they were still at that stage where they were, like, trying to move up in the world. And so they were super nice and took a picture with us and everything, and that was just really cool. And
not until you've made it that you can really just ignore people. See, that's whenever.
Actually, you're probably right about that. And then the other thing is Dynamite on Wednesday and Collision on Thursday are at the Curtis Caldwell Center in Garland. So it's like, it's my spot. Like, whenever the Super Bowl was here, I know weather caused all kinds of problems in Arlington and across the Metroplex. But you were like, hey, man, it's here. Like, I might just see Tom Brady just walking around, or I guess for that one, Roethlisberger just walking around or whatever. And I just think it's cool to, like, get that buzz. And if you're not a wrestling fan, that's totally fine. We'll have lots of regular sports stuff.
Yeah, I was just asking. So I just want to know, like, what y'all get most excited. Because, like, Super Bowl week, we're obviously excited for multiple different things. Somebody's excited for the halftime show. Somebody's excited for the commercials. Some people want to see if this game, like, is the greatest game, the most important game of our lives, like most elections.
Right.
Like, these are the things that we get excited for. I get excited for the week because we get all these interviews. It's an absolute crazy fest. Okay, real quick. Adrian was watching a Dancing for the Devil. Okay.
Okay.
The one of the women on the show is Austin Eckler's wife. Her sister, her sister was involved in all this.
Yeah, I saw that.
And so Adrian was like, oh yeah, do you know who Austin Eckler is? And I was like, actually, he was having dinner right next to us at Antoine's, and we got to talk to him the next day about it. And so, like, that's always a fun event. So I didn't know if that was kind of the same thing leading up the week is that much exciting for you guys.
I think probably so. And I'll let you speak to that, Alec. I know you also pre-gamed by going to the Dallas Card Show and getting wrestling cards
for a
different promotion, though.
Yeah, I know. And I think this is going to be different for me, Kevin, because I've never been to an AEW show.
So, is that right?
Yeah, my first one is going to be their stadium show, their first stadium show in the U.S. So that's going to be really cool for me to see. And then, as Kevin mentioned, like, there's going to be a lot of people in town in general. Like, I saw Mercedes Moné was already in Arlington last week doing photo shoots and stuff. So, like, there's people already making their way to town and just exploring and hanging out. So you might bump into them at the Parks Mall or something whenever you're going shopping. You might see these people that you know and some people that you haven't seen in a while because they went to the other promotion. And then there is a couple of matches. Mercedes match with Toni Storm is going to be amazing. But Okada and Omega is going to, I'm saying it right now, that's going to be the best match of the night. And I think that might end up being one of the best matches I've ever seen in person. And it hasn't even happened yet. That's how excited I am about that match.
See, that's what's getting me all pumped up for you guys. So awesome.
All right.
Thank you.
And plus, I still have 5 days to convince Corey to go to the show with me.
Heck yeah.
See, it could happen.
It could happen.
All right.
Absolutely could. Hold on, which show? The wrestling show?
Yes.
Okay, I thought you always want me to go to the card show.
The card show's over. And show. What?
Because you like peeps.
Let's go. That is true. Let's go to cut number three. And just for the record, I want you to go to the Dallas Card Show because every time I'm there, every 2 months, everyone's like, oh, hey, is Corey here? Every time! You are like this mythical being. Like, you're the Sasquatch of the Dallas Card Show. Because people are like, no, I saw him up on the stage doing the show. And people are like, where's the picture? And it's all blurry and stuff. And they're not really sure.
Yeah.
If you go to the Dallas Card Show.
I've been.
You have.
I have been.
Now, if I can just get you to walk through the doors into the main room, that is the next step. All right. Go ahead and give me cut number three. And I'm going to pretend for just a second like it's all positive for the Rangers, if that's okay.
Here's the 0-1 and a bouncing ball right side. They started Berger, and moving with the play is Iglesias. That creates a hole. The ball makes it out into right center. Carter scores. Berger gets to third. It's an RBI knock for Kyle Higashioka. He has driven in 5 runs tonight, an RBI in each of his 4 plate appearances, and the Rangers lead 7-4.
What was, and that would be the final score on Saturday, what was particularly notable, he was the first player in Texas history to have 5 RBIs and a stolen base in a single game as a catcher.
Wow.
So that was incredibly positive. You go back to Friday night. They lost the game last night, ESPN, Sunday Night Baseball. But you go back to Friday, it is another extra innings loss. And yeah. if you guys don't mind, I wanted to focus in on something, Corey, that you have brought up. And now we have kind of data through this sample size to point out why so many of those extra inning games are going against the Rangers.
Okay.
All right. So in the last, I think it's in the last 9 days, maybe it's 10 days, the Rangers have played 5 extra innings games.
Okay.
They have won 1 of them.
Dang.
Now, something that I think you can focus in on is
they don't score many runs.
That is actually okay. So that's true. But believe it or not, even with their shortcomings as an offense in general, they're still close enough to, I think, be able to overcome it. So the Rangers have played 29 one-run games this year. What do you think their record is? They've played 29 games decided by one run, one way or another. What do you think their record is?
10-19.
Okay. Alec?
I was right around that area. I'll say 9 wins, though. Just to undercut.
Okay. They're 14-15.
Oh.
Okay.
So on the surface, you're like, okay, so just about as, you know.
500.
Exactly. But consider this. They started 6-0 in one-run games. So.
Which at that time, I do remember us saying, that's not going to last.
Sustainable, for sure. So while you guys weren't correct in the bigger picture, your trends are, it's heading in that direction, unfortunately. And now since then, they've gone 8-15 in one-run games. Here is one of the reasons. Their batting average with runners in scoring position in those 15 one-run losses is 137. You knew it was going to be bad when I started it with a 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I said 37, that is catastrophic. So let's boil it down even further. We just talked about this run of 9 games. You lost 4 or 5 extra inning games. Where does the blame lie in that? Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, and Adolis Garcia have gone 4-for-14 in extra innings. Now keep in mind, every even productive out you can have, let alone hit, that you can have in extra innings is hugely important since they start with a runner on second base, all right? Semien, Seager, Adolis, 4-14 in extra innings in that span. In that same span, do you know what the rest of the lineup is? 0-for-24. Think about that.
That's pathetic.
It is pathetic.
And that's, I hate saying that because for a bunch of dudes that I like
sure,
this team.
For sure.
I don't like their record. I don't like some of the things that are going on, but I do like this team. But that is a pathetic number.
And think about this. Only 2 of those 5 extra inning games were decided in the first extra inning. Because you have a 12-inning loss to Seattle, another 12-inning loss to Seattle, and an 11-inning loss to Baltimore. And the reason why I bring that up is, can you imagine you go back to the 10th inning in those? If you could turn one of those, 1 of 24, 2 of 24, 3 of 24, would that have been the difference between 1, 2, maybe 3 wins? Because then all of a sudden you're sitting at 47-43. And the first text we got, I think like right when we were going on air, it's time to pretend like the Rangers don't exist again because they're not struggling. Well, that's never been the MO of this show,
yeah.
But it's certainly easier to talk about them more when they're winning. And if you could flip even those 3 games, which is not a crazy amount, that would make you feel a lot more positive about this.
There's a lot of small things, small details about this team that if you could just change this one little thing,
yeah,
their record, I mean, they could be 10 games up just based on a few different areas.
There are some not as big as you think tweaks that could make that happen.
Where they're not quite getting that done. And the patience of Boach and Chris Young is something that we love and admire. Because when you're patient and it ends up working out, then you're the guy that just knew that it would eventually come together.
Yeah.
When you're patient and it doesn't work out and it's not working out and you're still waiting, then you're like, okay, guys, when are y'all going to do something? And they're like, well, we still are being patient with it because we think it can.
Yeah. And I'm not here to argue that the hitting is even average across the board.
It's not good enough.
We all know it's not. But when you talk about making these certain like offensive adjustments or whatever, all I really want to know right now is how do they hit with runners in scoring position? Because you're getting the setups necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Like
you're getting hits. You're getting more hits than early in the season, Kevin. You would walk away and go, you got two hits tonight?
For sure.
But right now it seems like you're getting on base throughout the game. You're not able to get them over. And here's a couple of reasons why. Overall, this isn't runners in scoring position. Your number four hole hitter is hitting .211. Your number five hole hitter is hitting .178.
Good.
That heart of your order right there.
So not
there.
Eight and nine. You said four and five?
Yeah. Four and five. .211 and .178. Actually, eight and nine are hitting .233 and .203. That's better by far than your five hole hitter. And then you go down to your DH. DH is hitting .158 this year.
That has to be the worst in Major League Baseball. Having not looked that up, that is horrible.
And the 4-5, Kevin, isn't even like representative of what Marcus Semien's done in those two spots over the last month. Like that doesn't even pull the good thing that's gone on. So that spot right there is the reason A, you're not getting the runners in scoring position in throughout the game, and B, whenever you have these big moments late in extra innings, those guys are stepping to the plate and they're not doing it either.
For God's sakes, DH is supposed to be the spot where all you do is hit.
Designated hitter. Yeah, it's a hitter.
And we're just awful at that. So like Friday was another example. 1 for 12 with runners in scoring position. If you could get 12 opportunities with runners in scoring position, you should win that game.
Mm-hmm.
You really should.
You should be 6 for 12 at least, in my opinion.
Yes.
And 30% would be less than 6 for 12. About 4.
True. 4 for 12. Yes, actually it would be 3.6. So you could round that up to 4. Think about what a difference that would make in Friday's game. And if you could incrementally just change a handful of these, that would totally change the Rangers' luck. But guess what? You can't and you won't. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, more Cowboys questions that matter as we waste away waiting for training camp. Next on The Fan.
On second down, they will run it and run it. They will to Sanders. Big run. He's still on his feet. Miles Sanders. It's a foot race to the 30. Can he go all the way? The answer is yes. 82-yard touchdown.
We will ask about the Cowboys running backs in just one moment. But first, the executives, the coaches, the scouts, perhaps Corey as well. They ranked the NFL's top running backs for 2025. Guys, tell me in order your top three running backs in all of football.
Just in
your opinion.
In my opinion, I mean, Derrick Henry is there. Saquon Barkley's there. And I'm probably going to go with Bijan.
I could see that. What would your order be then?
Probably Saquon, and then Derrick Henry, and then Bijan.
Okay.
Now, I definitely could throw Jahmyr Gibbs in that conversation. It's just that he splits so much time.
Yeah.
I guess Bijan does too, because Bijan has had a couple of different backs in that backfield that have kind of, you know, been utilized the same way. But Jahmyr Gibbs, like, he just seems like he's the explosive Reggie Bush to, was it Lindale White back in the day? It just seems like that's the combination, him and David Montgomery. If you're going to score a touchdown, it's probably going to be from 20-plus out.
Yeah.
And David, if you're going to score a touchdown, it's going to be within 3 yards. And that just kind of is the feeling with those. So I would say those are my top four, but I would still probably have Bijan above Jahmyr right now.
Alec, who'd be your top three NFL running backs?
I would go Saquon, Derrick Henry, and then Jahmyr Gibbs in that order.
Okay, so that's the way it played out for the executives, but there is an interesting note in there to your selection, Corey. So Saquon Barkley, number one, the lowest anybody had him ranked was second, which...
I mean, he put together an MVP-type season.
Unbelievable.
He won the Super Bowl. He was already well-respected as one of the best running backs in the league when he was on the terrible Giants.
Yes.
And then he goes to a good football team, and they win. So, and then he also had the highlight of the year, maybe of a career.
And some of these votes, like, I don't have an issue with, like, the way they put it all together. I think it's really well done, and I appreciate that ESPN does this. But I'm going to go ahead and... Derrick Henry is second. Jahmyr Gibbs is third. Bijan Robinson is fourth. Here's what I wanted to touch on with Bijan Robinson. He was one of only three running backs to get at least one first place vote. Saquon got first place votes. So did Derrick Henry. So did Bijan Robinson. But at least one person did not rank Bijan Robinson in the top 10 of running backs. Coming off a season in which he had 1,456 yards rushing and 14 touchdowns, there's somebody who said...
He's a Tampa writer.
If you don't want to say he's top five, I feel like reasonable people could have that discussion. I would have him. I think I would also have him at three. But I would listen to that conversation. Like, if you think Christian McCaffrey's coming back and he's going to take over. And, like, I get that. Ooh. But, like, you don't have him in the top 10? What?
That doesn't make any sense at all.
I hate it.
I don't know. And I don't know. I would love to see that person's entire list.
Me too.
So that I can destroy it.
Okay. Not for constructive criticism. You'd be like, here are all the reasons that you're dumb. I
throw it in
six.
The ocean and the hope it melts and then bring it back and then rebuild it and then destroy it again.
Christian McCaffrey. I like it. That's a man who's focused. Mm-hmm. Christian McCaffrey is fifth. Josh Jacobs is sixth. Jonathan Taylor is seventh. I know there's some people who are hoping for big things from Jonathan Taylor this season. James Cook is eighth. Joe Mixon is ninth. And Alvin Kamara, baseball superstar, we might get to that later, is number 10 on the list.
Good question from the 3-2-1. Where's Frank Gore?
His
senior, that is. I'm sure he's still working on his all-time numbers.
Yeah. No, that's fair. You will be shocked to know.
I'm surprised I don't hear A-Chan's name.
So A-Chan is 13 on this list. They have a group of five honorable mentions and then six other players who got votes. So A-Chan is 13. You might be surprised to know Zeke's not in there. Frank Gore is not in there. And neither are Jamonte Williams or Miles Sanders.
Hold on. How can Zeke not be on this list? Him and Derrick Henry came out at pretty football. Much the same time.
What a shocking difference they are.
Okay, you said Breece Hall.
Breece Hall is 14.
Okay. I understand those. Achane just seemed to have popped a little bit, but I guess because last year he had to carry more of the load. Like, Mostert got hurt, and it was more.
Then, it's still only 900 yards. Like,
yeah.
So, I think this season could be it. And then obviously this is a huge season for Breece Hall as well to kind of reestablish his value. And
Aaron Jones being not on the list too kind of throws me off because I'm just used to him being like eight or nine.
Is there
most times?
Okay, so let me go through
maybe even six.
Okay, let me go six through 10. Tell me if there's anybody you would bump for anybody else. So Josh Jacobs, Jonathan Taylor, James Cook, Joe Mixon, and Alvin Kamara. No. Okay.
No, I might bump McCaffrey because he wasn't around much last year.
Yeah.
Like I honestly don't know how healthy he's going to be this year and how much that could be debilitating to him in his future. But Kamara's still a dangerous running back, very dangerous running back. And all the other guys you listed on that, either Jacobs had a great season.
Like he did.
He was really good again this year. And Jonathan Taylor, like, I think there's still a lot of projection with him and hope that he turns back into what we expected.
Sure.
And he's still good. And Felix Jones, I'm sorry. Somebody said Felix Jones. Where does he rank?
James Cook
had a great year this year too. So that's a good top 10 list.
So like with McCaffrey, the highest ranking was three and the lowest was unranked. I get that. Cause I can see how you'd be like, oh no, he'll be pretty much back and I'm only going to put him behind the main two versus I don't think he's going to be healthy at all, and so I'm not putting him up on that list.
The interesting thing, let's see, Barkley, Gibbs, Bijan, and McCaffrey. Jacob, most of these running backs are all pretty good receivers, too, especially in that top five. Jahmyr Gibbs is a good receiver as well. Derrick Henry is the only one that's not like the best receiver out of the bunch. He is a running back. You give him the ball, you give him a takeoff, and he is gone. And it's just interesting that like most, you're looking for a McCaffrey type. Most people are looking for a dude that you can throw the ball out of the backfield and he gets explosive plays. He can find a seam when he gets the ball in between the tackles, or he can make his way outside of the tackles, explode. Most of those guys, that's what it's turning to. Used to be, you got a Ricky Waters and you were lucky. You got a Roger Craig and you were lucky. You get an Emmitt Smith is what you were pretty much getting back in the day. Yeah. Now you're trying to find guys that can do it all.
Now, as we established, I know you guys are stunned, shocked, whatever the biggest word is to describe it, that Miles Sanders and Javonte Williams aren't on this list. So as we transition into more Cowboys questions that matter as we wait for training camp, I know I set it up sarcastically, but this is a serious question. Which running back or running backs do you think will emerge for this team?
For this team? I think Jaden Blue is going to have two amazing plays this year.
Okay.
I think he's going to have two runs that you're just like, oh my gosh.
Right.
And then Kevin's going to tell you why all the other runs aren't good enough. I think you're going to be like, hey, those were two really awesome runs.
Yeah.
But let's look at the efficiency for the rest of them. And I think you're going
to. That does kind of sound like.
I think you're going to look back and be like, dadgum. They were really good runs. And if you can get more of those, you're going to be like, wow. So I think he's going to have two really big explosive runs. I hope they can fix whatever was his problem with holding on to the ball. If they do that, this could be a lot more fun. And Javonte Williams is going to.
I'm sorry. I want to stick with Blue for just one second if we can. Is that a bigger concern to you than like maybe his overall efficiency? Like I'm saying he runs for 1 yard, 1 yard, 15 yards. Obviously, average-wise,
first fumble, everybody that is a Texas fan is going to be like, see, we told you.
Okay.
No, or an A&M fan.
Yeah.
Anybody that didn't like the pick or anything, they're going to point to the fumble as the first time. But I think the speed is there. And that's something that this team desperately needs is speed. They did not have enough of it last year, for sure.
And for the person asking about Deuce Vaughn, look, if you just look at the numbers right now, and this could change, but don't you go into training camp kind of thinking, I don't know if he makes the roster, right?
At the moment, yes.
Yeah, that's probably. Alec, do you have a strong thought or opinion about which running back or backs could emerge from the Cowboys grouping?
I think it'll end up being Miles Sanders. I want it to be Jaden Blue. Saw him at the card show on Saturday. He was actually at the same table as me looking at some NFL cards.
Look at y'all.
But he's a great dude.
Did you kind of want to get into like a, not a bidding war, but like, did you kind of want to be like, oh, I'll do this?
Run up the price on him just because I can't know. Because then I would do something stupid and be like, well, I can't afford that. He's got NFL money. I don't. But
he's got fifth round NFL money.
That's a lot more money than me still. It doesn't matter. He could be seventh. He could probably be undrafted and still have more money than me because of brand deals and whatnot. But I hope it's him. But I think it is going to be one of the veteran guys you brought in. And I think it's going to be Miles Sanders just based on some of the stuff we heard out of OTAs, you know, whenever people are saying Javonte's back to, you know, pre-ACL form, but Miles Sanders still looked like the best out there. And I know it's just t-shirts and helmets. I'm going to lean that way until training camp proves me wrong.
If Javonte can make a cut, he's going to be a great running back.
A really cut on the field versus.
Yeah. If he can make a cut when he gets the ball, because last year watching him, it was straight line. Straight line. And if there was anything else, that was it for him. If he can make a cut, which was something he could do before the injury, then he's going to be a very good running back for the Cowboys.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Don't forget, or don't worry, I got more and more Cowboys questions for you probably tomorrow. And also in the noon o'clock hour, we got giveaways to 21 pilots this week. But coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Four heads, 1, 2, 53 losses, and you're out at the old ball game. Next on The Fan.
He's 14 for 28. A swing and a high drive into left field. That's deep. That is way, way back. She is.
Man, is he cooking. Home run number 14, a two-run shot. Red Sox with a 4-0 lead. Mercy.
Because the Nationals are terrible. We'll get to that in just a minute. But first of all, not cool, ESPN. Headline, sources, Powell to the Heat, Collins to the Clippers in three-team trade. I know.
Well, that's only two teams.
There's other, like, less significant parts.
In my opinion here, the third team is the Mavericks, and that's Dwight Powell to the Heat.
So, unfortunately, you know what? Actually, in what you just said, there is wise logic. It was Norman Powell. But I should have known if there was three teams and one of your headliners was Dwight Powell, that's not a thing that exists. But shame on ESPN for making me think we had gotten a useful asset from that. Shame on them.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Espen.
Now, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's time for Baseball Nuggets. So, the Washington Nationals are terrible. I don't know if you guys have been keeping track of this story. Feels like we've discussed it a few different times. They are just the drizzling S. And because of that, they decide, well, I didn't say the other word. Because of that, they decided to fire their general manager and their manager yesterday. I can't say I'm particularly surprised. Are you guys surprised at all?
What was the moment that you thought that Dave Martinez would be moved from his post?
Probably the third week of the season. Now, they decided to stretch it out a little bit more because otherwise they look dumb. That's what I never understand. When hockey front offices fire their head coaches so early and the GM makes the move, I'm like, you should be fired.
Mm-hmm.
You're the person who thought this coach was the guy. And then 10 games into the season, 11 games into the season, you're done? That's your fault.
Yeah, I think it was that moment where Martinez was like, it's never the coach's fault. And everybody in the clubhouse is like, so you're blaming us? He's like, hey.
Do you know how hard our coaches work?
We're hard. Hey,
they got this game plan. It's the best game plan you've ever seen. So, like, he didn't quite say it's my players that are screwing it all up, but that's pretty much.
Dude, they're 9-23 since June 1st.
Yeah.
That is terrible. They got good talent on that team, too. Good young talent to grow with. That's got to be a big factor in if you're the learners. Obviously, there's some discontent with your players and your manager whenever he says that it's their fault because they're dumb or whatever. And then, like you said, with the GM, even though these guys have done well for you in the past,
yep,
whatever is going on right now is not working. So let's make sure we don't get blamed for this. Let's move on from that. And hopefully, these young players that we have here will be whoever the manager is will take them to another World Series, and this generation will be the one that all the fans remember the most.
As long as you don't have Bryce Harper on your team, you got a shot. All right, let's go from that to the All-Stars. All right, we can talk all about the All-Stars. Jacob DeGrom made the All-Star team. We'll go more in-depth on his selection a little bit later. But what I thought was really fascinating, and I kind of love this, is Clayton Kershaw as the legend pick. I don't know where you guys fall on this, but it feels like Clayton Kershaw is somebody that, you know, people would want to see. Kind of feels like we've hit the end of the road.
The legend pick, is it just for the National League or the American? Is there just one per year? Do we always get a legend pick?
I don't think you always get one, but I think I thought we had one in the past from both leagues.
Okay, and I feel like an Ichiro, like, probably had, you know, something sure. Like that. I'm just trying to figure out, do we always do this or just when there's a legend available?
See, because I think it's probably that second one.
Who's no longer really an All-Star.
Yeah, because I think about, like, the Cal Ripken moment when I was like, hey, I'll give you shortstop. And then he comes up and hits a home run. And everyone's like, that was the most amazing thing I've seen in a long time. So Clayton Kershaw, because, like, you'd love to see it, right? Kershaw goes out there and strikes out Aaron Judge. And you're like, oh, my gosh, that was freaking awesome.
And then he's like, give me another inning. And then he pitches 9 innings and, like, wins the All-Star game. Then retires.
Be super weird, but I would actually kind of want to see that.
He strikes out every single hitter, and they're just like, he was just untouchable today.
Now,
and then we all find out, like, they all set it up for a good story.
Man, that is so many people you'd have to be in on that. We'd find out like the bottom of the first. So
when one of the dudes is mic'd up, he's like, I had to strike out. Yeah. They told me I did.
That was what it said. So he makes the cut. Juan Soto and Mookie Betts do not make the cut. Mookie Betts had been on the All-Star roster 8 straight times. And then for Juan Soto, I know he got off to a slow start, but consider this. In the National League, Juan Soto was the June player of the month. Okay. He ranks 6th in the NL in WAR among position players, is 2nd in on-base percentage, 8th in OPS, and 3rd in runs scored. That sounds like an all-star to me.
Top 10 player right there.
Yeah. And he didn't even make it as a backup.
I will say the Mookie Betts numbers are down this year. The power numbers are down over the last 4 years, but the Mookie Betts numbers are down a little bit. He's still a star, but I guess they have so many in the Dodgers uniforms right now.
All right, so my
question. Soto is a very deserving.
For sure.
Even though his team stinks and he's getting laughed at for picking the wrong New York team, he's still an all-star.
His team does not stink.
His team stinks.
No, they don't.
The Mets are in a spiral. They're never going to make it.
They don't stink. I don't know. What does that mean the Rangers are?
The Rangers stink right now.
No, you can't.
They're never going to make it.
You can't use the same superlative for both of them.
Oh,
one has like way better
the
record.
The Rangers are miserable right now.
Okay.
Miserable and, well, I guess they're not as miserable as the Guardians. They've lost 10 in a row.
And they got somebody being investigated for 2 crooked Mets, pitches.
Look at that. They've lost 1 in a row. They're 5-5 in their last 10.
What's their overall record?
Their away record's 19-25.
What is their overall record?
2nd in their division.
God, you're such a jerk about this.
They're 52-39, so they're better than some teams.
They're better than most teams, would you not say?
34. They're not better than the Astros. That's what makes them...
You know Corey's in trouble in an argument when he pulls out the Astros.
As a defense?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, well, hold on. Are the Mets, are they as good as you expected them to be?
I think they are.
Okay. That's fair. Okay. That's a fair answer to that question.
Now.
They're better than the Yankees, look, I guess.
As long as we're, I guess, which is really, that goes against everything you just freaking said.
The Yankees are 3-7 in their last 10.
You just said people are making fun of him for picking the wrong New York team.
Have you not
team.
Seen the people in New York making fun of him for picking the wrong New York team?
Okay, well, his sure, team has a better record.
They're the worst. They're worse than Astros fans by far.
His team has a better record. I'd be like, whoa, good job. Like, it's like if you ever went to like a high school basketball game and people would throw out this fancy chant, and you're like, good for you, and then just go, scoreboard.
Okay, Kevin.
Scoreboard.
I'm going based on what happened about a week and a half ago.
That's true. They have a spiral.
Got swept by the Rays, swept by the Braves, won 1 against the Phillies, and then got almost swept by the Braves again, and then lost 2 to the Pirates. Sure, was 1 on a Wednesday? Probably.
And even with all of that, they still have a better record than the Yankees.
They got swept by the Pirates, Kevin, and you pointed out that Paul Skeens was not pitching in any of those games.
Paul Skeens, by the way, maybe we'll dive into this tomorrow, could go 8-14 and win the Cy Young.
But they're back. The Mets are, the okay, Mets are back.
They're back at 5-5 in the last 10. They're back. All right. Well, as long as Corey, for some reason, is bashing the Mets, Pete Alonso is not going to participate in the Home Run Derby for the first time in his career. He is a 2-time champion, and as you could guess, he's just a staple in the Home Run Derby, and I'm kind of bummed about that.
Yeah, it's always fun because you know you're gonna get some pop from him, and it's gonna be competitive. And it might be one of those where you're like, oh, he doesn't stand a chance, and then he does, and you're like, dang it, he's still got it. Is there a reason he just decided not to this year?
Yeah, actually, do you want to hear his actual quote because of that? I just decided not to do it this year.
Okay.
That's what he actually said. And then he added, I've never really fully enjoyed the 3 days off, so I want to be in the best position possible to help this team. So
okay.
There is more thought out, but like It's just the fact that he said it exactly the way you asked that question that was amazing.
Yeah, that's, I mean, sometimes that is the reasoning. I just decided not to.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. By the way, we have so much freaking content there. We might have to do more baseball nuggets at some point. But coming up next, I'm excited about this. What is the Cowboys' best and worst case defensive scenario for the upcoming season? And who's your Cowboys' Mount Rushmore since 2000? We'll do that next right here on The Fan.